I'm Evgenia Nusanovich. Welcome to the Science Translational Medicine podcast for November 19th, 2014. In this show, I will be speaking with Dr. Inder Verma of the Salk Institute for Biological Studies about his new study of a drug combination that may be useful for treating lung cancer. Despite recent advances in public health and smoking cessation efforts, lung cancer is still the most common human malignancy and one of the most deadly. Although some types of lung cancer can now be treated with targeted therapies, we still have no specific treatment for tumors with mutations in an oncogene called KRAS, which are quite common. Now, the group of Inder Verma at the Salk Institute has found a way to combine two existing classes of drugs to successfully target these difficult tumors. Here now is Dr. Verma on the line to tell us more. Welcome, Dr. Verma, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
In your study, you are using bisphosphonates to treat cancer. However, bisphosphonates are drugs that are normally used for bone disorders. How did you decide to focus on bisphosphonates as potential agents for treating cancer?
So bisphosphonates, as you said, are used for bone resorption, where the bones are broken down to make calcium, which is released in the body, and bisphosphonates are used to prevent that. They usually work externally by binding to the minerals, and they basically also work by inhibiting farnesyl diphosphate synthase and also geranyl diphosphate synthase. What we found that if you were to add additional carbon chains to the zoldronate, which is now being used, it allows it to become more lipophilic. It can get into the cell. And once it gets into the cell, it has the ability to then inhibit what we refer to as the farnesyl diphosphate synthase, also FPPS, and geranyl diphosphate synthase, also called GGPPS. These are the enzymes which are needed to cause what is referred to as prenylation, a modification of a protein, which in the case of KRAS allows it to go to the membrane. And once it goes to the membrane, then it basically activates the RAS pathway and thereby continuously along the growth of the cells and thereby causing the cancer. So we thought that if we can have zoldronate modified with additional carbon chains so it can become more lipophilic and into the cells, it can now inhibit these enzymes, which will then prevent the prenylation of KRAS, which will not allow the KRAS to bind to membranes and thereby will not have the effect of overgrowth of the cell. So that's the strategy that we devised.
Was this discovery an incidental observation, or were the lipophilic bisphosphonates purposely developed to inhibit KRAS processing?
The bisphosphonates originally were developed for really bone resorption and also sometimes used in bone metastasis in cancers. But our colleague, Dr. Oldfield, is a chemist, and he decided to make it more lipophilic by adding additional carbon chains because he suggested that instead of it staying outside the cell, if it goes inside the cell, it will perform the same function, but now will actually work on many of the proteins which are inside the cell, like KRAS.
So what did you find when you tried to use lipophilic bisphosphonates in lung cancer?
So the first thing we found was that the KRAS protein was not present on the surface membrane of the cell. And if it wasn't present on the membrane, where was it? It was in the what we call the lysate itself, like a pellet. So if you take a cell and you spin it, you have the membranes and you have the pellet. And we found if you take cell lines which has KRAS mutation from lung cancer, added this compound to them, the bisphosphonate, which we call modified form BPH122, the one with 8 extra carbon chains, that it actually did not allow any of the KRAS to be on the membrane, but they were all in the pellet. And furthermore, the KRAS which was in the pellet was also degraded because it was not properly formed. So that was the first hint to us that yes, it had an influence in preventing the KRAS to be modified by prenylation, and therefore it can go to the membrane.
What is autophagy, and what led you to suspect that autophagy may be a problem when you tried the bisphosphonates in vivo?
So autophagy is an alternate way of providing amino acids and others to the cell. By destroying a cell, you produce amino acids, which can now be used by the cell to grow. So the idea was to inhibit autophagy by using molecules like chloroquine. But what happened when we did that, it activated a protein called NF-kappa-V, which activated another protein called P62, which allowed the cells to grow now. So we realized that that was not a good way to do it, but it would be better if we actually use a inhibitor of autophagy in this case. So therefore, we used rapamycin, which then induces, in a way, autophagy, and thereby allows now a combination of both destruction of the KRAS and also prevention of also causing of the autophagy. The two combination together then allows the cells to die even faster and better. And therefore, the tumor cells now did not survive by virtue of KRAS not being on the membrane, hence could not activate, and also we have then the autophagy inhibitor like the rapamycin.
So what are the next steps that are needed to translate these results for clinical use?
So it turns out zoldonate is now used in the clinic as Zometa. The rapamycin is also used in the clinic as Everolimus. That's the name that is used as. So we argued that, you know, those two are already in the clinic. We realized that zoledronate is not the best molecule. It would be better if we have the 8-carbon chains, which is the BPH-122, which is the one used in the paper. But that requires more clinical testing in terms of its toxicity studies, the PK values, to prove that it is really a safe molecule, which is what we are doing. But that takes quite some time. But in the meantime, since the drug Zometa is already approved, which is zoledronate, not the best, but it still does part of the same function, and the drug for the rapamycin is available in the clinic, we went to our colleagues at UCSD Medical School and asked them, will they be interested in thinking them as a possible combination for therapy of lung cancer? Because once you are a stage 4 lung cancer, there really is little one can do with them. And we were very excited that they were excited, that they are now willing to pursue this and, in fact, are beginning to get the molecules from the appropriate companies. In the meantime, we have started to do more toxicology study on BPH-1222, and as soon as we know more about it and as soon as we know it is safe and better molecule for human utility, then we will try to combine that with the rapamycin that is already available in the clinic.
Dr. Verma, thank you so much for joining us today, and congratulations on a fascinating paper.
Thank you. We are very excited about it because it is something which is probably a molecule involved in not only just lung cancer, but in many cancers, more specifically pancreatic cancer. And in fact, in the paper, we also show that cell lines made from pancreatic cancer are also susceptible to this treatment. So we are actually very excited about it.
That was Dr. Inder Verma of the Salk Institute for Biological Studies. Check out his paper in the November 19th issue of Science Translational Medicine by going to our website at stm.sciencemag.org. I'm Evgenia Nusinovich. Thanks for listening. This podcast is a production of Science Translational Medicine and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, working together to advance science and serve society.